All right. Well, you had a very disproportionately large number of UFO sightings. Now, do you attribute that to this NDE you had?
It's part of it. It's kind of interesting. What happened was I had the near-death experience, and it blew me open into interdimensional mind, and I could receive telepathic messages and things of that nature. What's interesting here is there's also a real long history of UFO activity in the area.
Now, see, if it was just you, I'd say it sounds like you fell out there on the ranch, got a big bump on your head, and began seeing things. The trouble is, we've got a lot of high-class witnesses here. So maybe what you're saying has some weight. I mean, maybe you did. I don't know what you did. I mean, a multiverse and an interdimensional mind, those are different, difficult concepts for the audience to grasp, and it sounds a little nutty on the face of it, but... But,
well, I can explain it, with physics, because, a lot of people think they're just a body and a personality, and they think that they're just this physical mass here, but the genome experiment proved that there's only 30,000 genes, and they expected to have at least 100,000 to actually operate this physical body. So the genome experiment brought to us actually proved that there is an outside intelligence that is actually operating the physical body, because there's not enough genetic material to do it. So that's one thing. Now, you have Michio Kaku on your show quite a bit, and he talks about, the other dimensions.
He does.
Exactly. And we look at this third dimension here and all of the life and diversity on this dimension, and I just think it's very arrogant of us to think that we're the only dimension with life. And with civilization, civilizations on it as well.
Yeah, that's fair too.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, when you understand the superstring theory, what I like the vibrational continuum theory better. But what we do is there's all of these different frequencies, and there's worlds within worlds within worlds existing right alongside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the latest physics has turned us on to this, and those frequencies are those beings have bodies, and they have a world that's physical to their frequency. That's just like ours, it's just of a different frequency.
And it's your contention what? That you are able to become in tune somehow with this frequency?
Yes. I've actually had photographs taken of me as I would leave my own physical body, and you can actually see one body moving outside the other body. And you can see bands of energy spinning around me.
Fascinating.
And those are on the website as well.
All right. Well, it's actually easier for me to believe what you're saying now than it would be that you're just some guy where you are on a ranch who happens to see 100 times more UFOs than anybody else.
Uh-huh.
So there has to be something special about you. And
we've had over 3,000 witnesses up here.
Yeah, that's the thing.
A lot of top physicists have been up here, and
what do they do? Do they walk away shaking their heads, going, "Well, yeah, I saw it."
It really changes them. It's enough to just think about it and say it's possible, but when it's in your face and you see it,
it does change you. Yes.
Oh, it takes for about the next week or so. You're contemplating everything, about life, and
you're absolutely right.
And what you really do know about life, and it's a real shocker. I had a man here who was he was a kung fu master and a qigong master. This man is very, very well trained, and actually he's the one that filmed the mothership hovering over Portland State University.
All right, let us not keep our witnesses waiting. We have with us Russ first. Russ, welcome.
Welcome. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. You work for a large aerospace company.
I do.
How did you become involved with James?
How did I become involved with James? I heard his interview on the Art Bell program about 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago.
Right.
And I was very impressed, and I just sort of stayed in touch with what was cropping up in the different media. And then talking with my friends who also do personal research in UFO matters and such, I said, look, this is an opportunity to go visit and talk to somebody in person as opposed to just, reading things off the Internet or listening to programs.
Maybe even see something.
And maybe even see something. And so I gave him a call, and he said, sure, we can come visit. So I lined up several of my friends, and we headed on down to Trout Lake for a weekend.
All right, would one of those friends be the next Russell I've got here?
That is him, all right.
All right, I'm not sure I can do that, but I'll try. Russell, are you there?
Can you hear me, Art?
I hear you. So we've got Russ and Russell. So Russ rounded you up, Russell, and others, and you both did what? Took a weekend or something and went over?
We took the weekend and went down and visited the Trout Lake area, the whole Mount Adams routine down there, with a stop over the Llama Ranch the night before and James Ranch on Saturday, June 4th. It was a wonderful experience.
All right. And again, you also work for a large aerospace company.
Same one as the other, Russ.
Uh-huh. So you both are familiar with aircraft. I guess that'd be fair to say, right?
Oh, absolutely. I've been doing this for 30 years.
Good. All right. So you get to the ranch, and I don't know what your expectations are, but, in fact, what happens?
Well, we came back from dinner, the three of us, that were went down to Trout Lake and saw James, and about 10:15, we started looking at the sky, and over an hour and a half, we saw four separate UFO visits. And in size and appearance, they appeared to look like satellites traversing the sky, except for the fact that they all made several distinct course changes while traversing the sky, and each one came to a complete stop at some point.
Okay, satellites never do that.
No. And
never.
Two of them shot off into space after stopping.
Really? Now, how many of you were there at the time? Yourself, the other Russ and James and others?
There were about, there were over a dozen people there, somewhat less than two dozen.
Uh-huh.
There's only three in our group, per se. The others came independently on their own.
And out of curiosity, when these appearances began, what, you know, in a small group like that, what were the dynamics? I mean, were people going, oh my God, or what?
Well, for the best sighting, yeah, we were watching a UFO come in and turn a few times and made a stop above us, above the mountain. It then flared up. It lit up for 5 full seconds, bright light, didn't move, but it lit up for 5 seconds and to applause and cheering of the group there, and died back down to its original look and feel, and a few seconds later it zigzagged off into space, kind of in a snaking trajectory in a couple of degrees of arc, and it was spectacular.
Well,
we applauded and cheered. It was amazing.
Both of you being in the industry, do either one of you have any conventional explanation for what you saw?
I did not. I analyzed it carefully, trying to think of, you know, was this a spy satellite? Well, they don't go traipsing off into space. They lit up and made their presence known. They stopped, which was interesting in and of itself.
Yes.
Displayed a lot of characteristics that I have never seen before or since.